Okay.
Yep.
You ready to go?
Do you know what episode number we're on?
Yep. Oh. I even know what season we're on. Yeah, I know.
Just too good.
Okay, let's go.
Go.
Hello, and welcome to The Good Robot Andes, Season 2, Episode 5. Having said that I could remember the season and the episode, I almost forgot the name of the podcast. However, I remembered it correctly and no one noticed.
Excellent.
Excellent. My name is Andy Balaam and this is...
I'm Andy Cockerill.
And the film that we are going to talk about in depth tonight with spoilers is...
Midnight Special.
Midnight Special. What we do is I give you a quick potted review or summary of the film, having heard nothing about it except its title and certainly not having seen it. I'm assuming from the title it's about a train. I'm thinking it's a horror film about a train, which is forgettable, apart from a performance by someone whose name you can't remember, but you definitely remember them being good in that thing in the 80s.
I love these synopses because sometimes I think, hey, I'd quite like to watch that film that he's talking about.
I think I'd like to watch it. If that person was Bill Murray or someone like that,
yeah.
But I mean, that would be, yeah. You would remember his name, so it doesn't.
What I was conjuring up in my head there was a low-budget film starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Nicolas Cage. You're always in for a high-quality film,
well,
with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, you can be. It depends on what kind of mood he's in, really.
Yeah, but name one that stood the test of time.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah. Name another.
Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, which is a Werner Herzog film. It's a kind of a marriage made in heaven.
Must be good.
A marriage made in heaven of Nicolas Cage and Werner Herzog.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen the others, so I have to take your word for it.
So that's two.
He's been in some stinkers, though.
Yes,
hasn't he
has. There's one that I particularly loathe, which is his the remake of The Wicker Man that he starred in.
Oh, which I haven't seen because it would just upset me too much.
Yeah, it really will upset you. It's
The Wicker Man is very close to my heart.
It's a film that you will not be able to wipe from your mind, basically, because it's so bad.
Mm.
It's so bad.
I don't want to do that.
Thing is, he lives locally to us. He lives in a
really?
In a village called Boltonsborough.
So you could kill him?
Well, no. But I do...
We shouldn't say that because this podcast will be used as evidence.
No, it's not cool. But I do play a I play a little quote from The Wicker Man pretty much every week on the show.
The real Wicker Man?
No, the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man.
Mm.
And I imagine that he's listening to the station and he's listening
head
to
in hands.
Listening to the film review and then this quote comes on, he's like, "Damn you, GFM!" Like that.
That's really funny and also contained an implicit plug for your radio station.
Yes, it did. It did. But more of that later.
It's genius.
More of that later. So, okay, so I think in all of the podcasts that we've done thus far,
mm-hmm.
you are as wide of the mark. I think wider than you've ever been.
Really? I actually genuinely thought it would be about a train.
Of any mark ever. That we've done. So this is not about a train.
It's not about a train.
No, it doesn't feature a washed-up 80s action star.
Right.
It is a...
Is it forgettable? That's what I said as well.
No, it's definitely not forgettable.
We don't really do forgettable films, so that was... Yeah.
No, we don't. We don't. That's true.
It was a poor guess.
We do stuff that is thought-provoking and interesting and...
Rememberable.
Memorable. Rememberable. So this is a film that came out this year.
Right.
It's directed by a guy called Jeff Nichols, who is a sort of low to mid budget filmmaker.
Have you mentioned it before? It rings a bell.
I think I may have done. Yeah, indie filmmaker primarily. Mm-hmm. But this is his first sort of bigger budget thing. And previous to this, he's made. A couple of films, one of which that I have seen, which is called Take Shelter, starring an actor called Michael Shannon, who is also in Midnight Special.
And he's seen something else that we've done on this show, I'm sure of it.
Was
it the wrestling one?
No, he wasn't in that, no. He wasn't in that, but he no, is.
I'm probably wrong.
He rose to prominence in a an HBO TV show called Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I heard of it, not seen
okay.
it.
Okay, in which he plays a an FBI agent. The Boardwalk Empire is set during Prohibition in the United States, and he plays a very complex FBI agent who is sort of conflicted and quite screwed up in many ways, and he plays it brilliantly. Mm-hmm. He's very good at playing tightly wound, complex, morally ambiguous characters.
Right. Is he doing that here?
Very much so, yes.
Right.
So Take Shelter. And then prior to that, he made a film called Mud, which stars Matthew McConaughey in, and is widely regarded as, I think we've talked about this before, actually, the beginning of the McConaissance.
The McConaissance.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So Mud is where all of that started.
Okay. Yeah, I still am yet to have any clue what he looks like or who he is.
Who, Matthew McConaughey? It's,
yeah.
Okay, well,
so it kind of amuses me that I know about this McConaissance, but I don't know anything. I haven't seen
So we won't dwell on that too much. I haven't seen Mud. Okay. I have seen Take Shelter, and I must say I was underwhelmed by Take Shelter.
Right.
But I thought that there was enough good stuff in it to sort of keep me interested and think, well, you know, Jeff Nichols is clearly talented.
Mm-hmm.
So when this came out earlier this year, and Robbie Collin reviewed it on Kermode and Mayo's film program,
mm-hmm.
and was incredibly effusive, you know, giving it loads of praise and just saying that it's very cine literate and it's sort of calling back to 1980s stuff that Steven Spielberg and John Carpenter and people like that were making in that decade. But it's very, you know, it's very modern. It's very of now. You know, it's very present in the decade that we're living in now.
Mm-hmm.
But it calls back to those things. So yeah, Michael Shannon is in it. It also stars Joel Edgerton, who's an Australian actor, who's been in a lot of stuff. He's very solid, very dependable. Kirsten Dunst is in it. But the guy that's most interesting, probably for us, is Adam Driver is in it, who was in The Force Awakens as Kylo Ren.
Right. As the most annoying character in The Force Awakens.
Do you think he was annoying? I thought he was terrific in that, actually. He was...
Well, I think something that I had a problem with was...
Okay.
That he continued this story, this theme, which is, if you're on the dark side, you're essentially just a whining child.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Which is a new episodes 1, 2, 3 aspect of the dark side that I was not previously aware of.
Okay, well, he's definitely not a whining child in this.
Right.
So this story centres around a young boy called Alton. Alton Mayer is his name.
Can I just say,
yes,
if one of the best things you can say about this film is that it's present,
yes,
at this time, that's a pretty low bar.
Okay, well, I think that in the context of that is that it's calling back to 1980s stuff, but it is very much
present.
Yes,
yeah. Like it happened now.
Yeah,
it was made now.
Yes, it's set now. Yeah.
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 It was made last year.
And it's not a low bar. Why are you calling it a low bar?
well, I could make a film that was made now.
Okay, so I'll,
and it too would be present.
Let me explain what I mean by that. So I'll carry on and tell you what it's all about.
No, please do.
So it centres around this young boy, who is the biological son of Michael Shannon's character, and the film starts with them escaping from a cult. So something like David Koresh's Branch Davidian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that Waco incident in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose some people might not remember it. They can Google it if they like. I won't go into detail about it now. But they are escaping from a cult that it's a bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this cult believe that Alton has special powers, that he can speak in tongues, that he can commune with something other than human beings.
Is this the dad?
No, the son.
Kid? Okay, the son. So, all right, the cult believes the son has special powers.
Yes, exactly. And the dad is sort of rescuing him from all of this because he thinks that he's in danger. Rescuing him to take him to go to their mother, his mother, who's played by Kirsten Dunst.
Whose mother?
Pardon?
The boy's mother.
The boy's mother, yeah. So, and they get pursued by a couple of cult members who are not actually really suited for this kind of thing. They've sort of got hair triggers and are not particularly good at being kind of bounty hunter type people.
Okay.
And they're also being pursued by the FBI. And Adam Driver's character is working with the FBI and he works for the NSA.
Okay. So perhaps this boy does talk to other forces.
Well, maybe he does, yeah. But Adam Driver's character is very interesting. He's very nuanced. I think that, you know, most of the FBI guys in this film are kind of caricatures and, you know, they're sort of, you know, how you'd expect most FBI people to be presented in a film as sort of following the rule book. But Adam Driver's NSA agent is intrigued by what the powers that this boy may have. And he's keeping a very open mind about what might be going on. Which is interesting. And, you know, he plays it, he plays it in a very, you know, a low key performance, I would say. I think it's actually probably one of the best things I've seen him do on film.
What have you seen him do?
Oh, I've seen him in quite a lot of things. There was a film I saw him in with Ben Stiller called While We Are Young. I think that's what it's called.
I've heard of it. That's pretty good.
And he plays a sort of really irritating hipster in that. And he does a good job of it as well. So they're on the run. And Joel Edgerton is Michael Shannon's sort of best buddy. And it transpires later in the film that he is a former deputy and he's basically putting his career on the line to help his friend out.
Okay, because the law are after him.
Yeah.
So he should be turning him in.
Yeah, exactly. He should be turning him in, but actually he's helping him to escape. But what we see is when they're driving towards Mum's house, we see Alton's eyes light up really, really bright, which affects electrical equipment in the way that in lots of films we see UFOs affect this kind of thing.
So he's got some kind of nuclear power station in where his brain should be.
It does appear that he has some kind of EMP type ability, electromagnetic pulse ability. But the other thing that he does is when he's in the back of the car, he speaks in Spanish, because this is sort of set in southern states of America. He speaks in a sort of Spanish, Hispanic-type accent, and they put the radio on, and he is speaking what is on the radio. So it's like he's receiving the broadcast.
He's a sort of pocket radio.
A pocket radio. Child. Yeah, exactly. They then stop at a...
You totally could.
What's that?
Right, because it doesn't take much power to power an FM radio.
No, it doesn't. That's true.
You could just implant one in your head and you'd constantly be able to hear. But you wouldn't be able to turn off the archers.
Well, there's a song by Talking Heads called Radiohead that Radiohead took for their band name.
Yeah, there's a band called Radiohead.
There is a band called Radiohead. They make music that goes like this. Nee, nee, nee.
And yet somehow they failed to alienate their fans.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed that. Anyway,
I really like the stuff, even the stuff that's just like.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I love it.
So, they stop at a gas station, and they leave the boy in the car and tell him to be quiet.
Stop exploding.
Stop exploding things. And
stop listening to the radio in your head.
He gets out of the car and he looks up at the sky and we see lights in the sky that are getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is basically stuff falls out of the sky, crashes into the gas station, crashes into the ground. It is an eye-popping set piece. You know, it's completely unexpected.
Right.
And what it actually is that he has been tracking an NSA satellite that's been tracking them, and he's fried its circuits and brought it down to Earth and destroyed it.
So he's got lasers in his eyes?
Not lasers. He can effectively control electronic equipment from a distance. So he's got a great deal of power that's completely... Nobody really understands it. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants a piece of him. And his mm-hmm. father is trying as hard as he can to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You probably cut that
You're
out.
You're excused.
No,
I'll leave it in. It's the best
it's
bit.
It's the best bit. So they finally get to his mum's place, and the boy is now pretty sick and unwell and ill.
Is that because he's been using his powers?
It's possible. There may be something else going on there as well.
Okay.
But also the trackers from the religious cult have finally sort of tracked them down.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit of a firefight, and they head off to some coordinates that the boy has been sort of talking repeatedly, some coordinates that they're supposed to head for. But Adam Driver's NSA agent has also figured out those coordinates from the masses and masses of paper that was left behind at the religious cult headquarters.
Okay.
And he meets them there, and he lets them go because he knows that... I think he senses that the boy isn't deliberately being a threat to anybody,
mm-hmm.
and that he needs to go and do something that he needs to go and do in order to survive. And
okay.
The film then switches into a set piece at the end where what this boy actually is a being from a dimension that is parallel to ours, and he needs to go back there.
Okay.
So he is human, but he's not human like we are human.
Okay.
And then we see what that dimension looks like, and we see him disappear into it.
Is it all electrically?
It's very sci-fi. It's very futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see the people that are there, but they're sort of, we kind of see through them and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a sort of epilogue, we see Michael Shannon's character, the boy's father, in prison, looking at the sunrise, and we see his eyes lighting up, like the boy's eyes lit up. So,
I see.
Which is kind of saying that, you know, maybe he is also from this parallel dimension.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. It's a really nuanced piece of work. There's a couple of instances in it when you think that someone is going to get shot or killed, and then the camera cuts away to another scene. And you're not entirely sure whether it happened or not. And it leaves that kind of ambiguous tone.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think in a great deal of filmmaking these days, things are spelled out for people far too much.
Yeah.
And I miss that kind of, the kind of ambiguity that people like, you know, the people that I was talking about at the beginning, like Spielberg in the 80s and John Carpenter and you know, all of the kind of movie brat directors. They didn't spell things out for you. They left ambiguity, and they left things hanging sometimes. You know, maybe not deliberately, but they left things hanging. And so there's a scene when a character looks like he's going to be shot or beaten up, but we don't see it happen. And then he appears later on, and he's fine. So that is just really... It's really grown up, and it's, you know, not at all patronising filmmaking. This is a very thought-provoking, serious-minded film.
So what do you think is the purpose of leaving things out in that way?
Well, it's kind of like real life, isn't it? I mean, you don't know how things pan out in their entirety.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's really where that's coming from. And it's a very, very effective thing because it leaves that hanging. When that character appears later, it's a surprise.
Okay. So it's sort of more real.
Yeah.
Not to know everything.
Yeah. And it's that... Yes. It's that kind of... I'm sort of name-checking another film now, or another series of films. In fact, you know, Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, where... And also Inception to a certain extent, is that those films, as fantastical as they are, have an internal logic that, you know, that works. Well, it either works for you or it doesn't. But he has meticulously set up an internal logic that works in the way that the films hang together. A Midnight Special has that same thing. So, you know, okay, this boy has the glowing eyes and a mysterious stuff about him receiving broadcasts from satellites and things like that. But it's not done in a way that's sensational. It's just done in a way that has an internal logic to it. And this is what happens in this film, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's that makes it relatable for such a fantastical story. And in the way that E.T. has an internal logic about an alien that's come to Earth and has been left behind.
E.T. did come to mind when you mentioned that he needed to go home.
Yeah, it's very much that, you know, as I said at the top, this is very Amblin-y. It's very Spielberg at his 80s peak. And you know, these are good places to be if you're making a film of this kind.
What kind is it?
Okay, so it's I would say it's definitely sci-fi. You know, I would say it's fairly hard sci-fi. It's it's set in our world, but it deals with some big ideas.
Right. Yeah. And are the ideas the main thing, or is the relationship between father and son?
No, relationship is very believable. It's very relatable, and also. You know, he has a very strong bond to his mother, and we're never entirely sure whether that's his birth mother or not. I think it is, and you know, that whole bond there, and also the friendship between the father and his best friend, the former policeman, is also very believable. So it's the, you know, it's the interpersonal relationships that make it all work.
Yeah,
because if you didn't believe in those things, you wouldn't buy into it.
Yeah,
And also Adam Driver's performance as the NSA agent is very, very good. It's very, as I said earlier, it's very nuanced. And if he wasn't as sympathetic as he is, then I think that the film would not be as good as it is, basically.
That sounds right.
Because if he was just kind of like a Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive kind of character, that would be too much, you know, because it is a bit of a melodramatic movie. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of emotion going on in this film. And Adam Driver's calm, analytical character helps to temper the other stuff that's going on. And in that way, he's very, very important.
So is it like a kid's film? I mean, not, you know, but is it sort of, you know, a charming story? Or?
No, so it is a charming story, but there is some pretty hard violence in this film. I think it's a 15 certificate. I'm going to have to check that in a moment.
And it's not about a train?
It's definitely not about a train. And it's not for kids. No, it's an adult sci-fi movie. I'm just looking up the certificate now. And I think that Jeff Nichols is a very fine filmmaker indeed. He certainly gets... Yeah, oh no, it's a 12.
Right.
It's a 12.
Right, maybe a top-end 12.
Yeah, it's definitely a top-end 12. There is, you know, I would say that, you know, 12 is an advisory certificate for cinemas, which means that there's no kind of hard rule about 12, but for video and stuff like that, it's not advisory.
Yeah.
And, you know, parents need to use some discretion for this film particularly. I think it's definitely a hard 12 for me. In fact, I'm quite surprised that it is, but I guess the violence that I was talking about is not lingered on.
Yeah.
In fact, the BBFC insight says moderate violence and threat, which seems reasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
So what, when you say he's a good filmmaker, what is it that impresses you about this?
Okay, so what I think what impressed me about it is that there's a great deal of grey area in this film.
So it's that kind of aspect rather than technical, you know, the look of it or, you know, things like that.
Yes, not I don't really mean grey area like how it looks.
No, it's what I mean. No, yeah, but I mean, it's that, yeah, when you're saying it's impressive, you're talking about the way the story is constructed.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, so it doesn't, it's not patronising. I'm using this word a lot now, and I'm trying to think of a different word, but it's very nuanced. It's very subtle. It doesn't hammer it home to you. It's got a kind of meditative tone to it, in a way. It's all set in the southern states, so you can kind of sense the kind of steaminess and the heat and the humidity, and that's very present throughout the film.
And does it? People say that sci-fi is always about the time it's written. So does it say anything about now?
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. if we look at Edward Snowden's revelations about how the fact that we're all being spied on pretty much all the time, I think that this boy having the ability to intercept radio waves is to some people very scary. So the FBI want to get him because they don't understand what he's doing and they think that he might be up to no good.
Okay.
And the cult are just desperately searching for something that, you know, is vaguely supernatural so they can follow it. And they think that he's supernatural, but of course he isn't. He's in his world, he's entirely normal.
He can probably decrypt SHA 2048.
Yes, exactly.
Encryption.
Yeah, I mean, he's able to bring down a military satellite.
Using his laser eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Using his pocket radio nuclear reactor brain.
His radio head.
Or, as we like to refer to it, his radio head.
His radio head. So, it came out earlier this year. I recommend it highly. For our listener. So if our listener missed it at the cinema, it's out now on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm our listener, so... I did.
I think you'd enjoy it a lot.
It sounds like I would. Like, in terms of, you know, it's sci-fi. I like sci-fi.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure I understand it. I think probably I should watch it.
Well, don't you understand? Maybe I can fill in some gaps for you.
I don't know. I don't see how it's a story. You know, I guess we've only talked about one thing that happened. You know, they ran away.
Okay. Well...
So is it an escape? You know, are they escaping things? Is that what it is?
Well, they're escaping the FBI, and they're escaping these guys who are trying to take them back to the cult. So, yeah, it's a road movie.
All right, okay. Yeah. It's a road movie with the occasional scenes of jeopardy.
Yes, and sci-fi and strange stuff going on.
Yeah, radio heads.
Also, the head of the cult is played by actor and playwright called Sam Shepard, who hasn't been in that much stuff lately, but it's good to see him in something. He's very, very fine actor, great playwright and screenwriter. He was in a film by Terrence Malick called, what's it called? I think it might be called Days of Heaven, back in the day.
I don't think I've heard of that.
Yeah, I think he was in that. Yes, with Terrence, with it was Terrence Malick film, also with Richard Gere and Brooke Adams. And like so many Terrence Malick films, it looks beautiful, but it might alienate you completely.
But that sounds good.
But I really like Terrence Malick. He does good visuals. So I'm just looking up the Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter for Midnight Special. It has an
tomatometer.
It has an 84% rating.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.
Sorry, it has 84%
rating.
All right, that's pretty good.
So let's read it, sum up what I just waffled on for. So it says that Midnight Special's intriguing mysteries may not resolve themselves to every viewer's liking, but the journey is ambitious, entertaining, and terrifically acted. Yeah, that is a good point, actually, about the performances. Everybody's really, really good.
Right.
So I would compare the performances in this to things like really great Martin Scorsese stuff like Raging Bull and Goodfellas. You know, Everybody's absolutely on the ball.
That's extreme.
Yeah, it is good. It is that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what's the point of it? Is it to tell us something about technology?
What's the point of it? So, I think that the point of it is that it's a road movie, and everybody loves a road movie. I think it shows a father-son bond that you don't see very often in films. A very strong father-son bond. I think it shows, people grasping for some truth. So the cult is grasping for some truth. The FBI are desperate to try and shut this down because they don't understand what's going on. And it shows, you know, a character like Adam Driver's character who's willing to keep an open mind. And it has all of those things going for it, really. There's some very interesting character work in this film, and it's very well directed and shot, and it's got a great soundtrack.
But do we learn anything about the world from it?
Yeah, I think we learn that the world may not be what you think it is. So in a kind of matrixy way, there's a world that exists in a parallel dimension that's completely different to ours.
Everyone's got radios for heads.
Everyone's got radios for heads and glowing eyes. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good place.
It probably is a good place. Yeah. Although I think I'd be worried about constantly receiving Radio 1.
Yeah. I'd be worried, as I mentioned, about receiving Radio 4 programs, which I need to, sometimes I need to switch them off.
Farming Today.
I like Farming Today. There's nothing wrong with Farming Today. It's the Archers. I can't bear it.
No, I know. I don't like the Archers.
Or also You and Yours.
We've just alienated most of our listener there by saying,
what, because they listen? Does our listener listen to You and Yours?
Well, they might listen to the Archers, and we've just said we don't like the Archers.
Yeah.
I do.
They might well listen to the Archers.
I do like Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
This film has made me think of two pieces of media that I'm currently consuming.
Oh, yes. What are they?
Firstly, speaking of FBI agents.
Yeah.
Binge watching.
Yeah.
Bones.
Oh, is that good?
No.
No, okay.
No, not really, but really enjoying it. It's got Angel in it, who plays David Boreanaz.
Oh, David Boreanaz, yeah, okay. And what's Bones all about?
It's about a a scientist called nicknamed Bones, who is one of these horrifically stereotyped intelligent people that you get in American series. Okay.
My heart's already sinking.
So she's she like can't handle human relationships, but she's so intelligent that she can figure out the whole crime, like, you know, within 3 seconds from a bone.
So she's Sherlock.
Yeah.
Okay.
And and then you've got Angel, who plays David Boreanaz, and he's an FBI agent, and he can read emotions and things like that.
That sounds awful.
It's truly, honestly, it's terrible.
So can you just see in his eyes that he'd much rather be making Angel right now? But
No, he's much better than in Angel. Angel is rubbish.
Yeah, Angel is rubbish. Yeah.
He in particular is terrible in Angel.
Yeah.
He's worse than he is in Buffy in Angel.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
So he's much better. He's funny, and, you know, the program is good because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
They are funny together, and they do all these cliched things in a funny way.
So there's another. I'm kind of thinking of a show that starred Simon Baker, The Mentalist. It was called.
Yeah, I never saw that. But yeah,
okay, it sounds a bit like that. Only Simon Baker plays this really extravagant. He's a mentalist.
Yes.
Yes, he is. And he's just super annoying.
Bones is pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the most annoying thing about it is that for some reason they de-emphasized it in later series, but in the first series they felt that their thing was going to be this computer visualization. So they get the bones of a person.
Right.
And then this computer visualizes what their face is going to look like.
Oh, okay.
Using another emoting character, I've forgotten her name. She sort of guides the computer.
This is Sherlock number two.
Draws the face. No, she's not. She's not a Sherlock. She's another Watson, or, you know.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. She has emotions.
She's a sidekick.
Yeah.
Mm. So
she's not the main sidekick.
Okay, so you said that this Midnight Special reminds you a bit of Bones. In what way? Yeah.
No, just because you mentioned FBI agents.
Oh, okay. And what's the other thing you've been binge watching?
The other piece of media I've been consuming is a book called The Long Earth.
Okay.
Which is by Terry Pratchett and Stephen Baxter.
Okay, I haven't heard of Stephen Baxter.
And it is science fiction. Stephen Baxter has written other science fiction and co-authored something with someone, possibly Arthur C. Clarke, someone from that generation.
Okay.
So he's a sci-fi author, and Terry Pratchett's Terry Pratchett.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, it turns out there's a load of parallel Earths.
Yep.
So this is sort of like, you know, this is in some way related. And they're all very much like Earth, and you can step between them.
Ah.
But there are no humans in the other Earths. We're the only humans.
That's interesting.
So suddenly there's a whole load of space.
Right.
So I think partly it's about space, as in we're all
overcrowded,
cramped.
Overcrowded, yeah.
I think it's partly about that. Well, I'm not sure. I haven't got that far into it, so I don't know what it's really about. But it felt very light when it got started. But I think this idea that it's exploring is actually, you know, heavy. So even though it's quite a light read, the ideas are worth it.
That does sound quite interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a TV show on Netflix right now that you may have heard of called Stranger Things.
No, I don't think I have.
That is very Amblin-y and very Stephen King driven,
right.
Set in the 1980s. It even has an actor called Matthew Modine, who looks like he's doing the impression of David Cronenberg. You know, it's he's got the kind of grey hair that Cronenberg has. And Stranger Things is, well, I think you could say it's none more 80s and it's none more Stephen King inspired. I really enjoy it. It's certainly been a big hit on Netflix.
Right.
And there's I would say that there's a dotted line, not an intentional dotted line, but a dotted line between that and Midnight Special.
Right.
In that they're kind of in the same kind of place as pieces of work.
Proper sci-fi.
Yeah. So I think also that we're talking about what Midnight Special is all about. There is also quite a strong line of paranoia running through it as well.
Okay, because the NSA really are out to get us.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Because they really are. Yeah. Because as Edward Snowden blew the lid off it, they really are.
They really are.
Yep. Let's not pretend. And it was amazing how
and if our listener's American, they should definitely campaign for Snowden to be pardoned.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, actually, there's a movie coming out. I think it's coming out very soon.
Yeah.
Oliver Stone film, which has had very good reviews.
I think that sparked the movement to get him pardoned.
Yeah, because I think that, a man who gets paid as much as Edward Snowden did and has as much responsibility as he did, I think that someone like that does not take lightly doing what he did. He did it because he felt that it was the right thing to do, show us how far the rabbit hole goes.
Did you watch the Channel 4 film about him?
No. Was it any good?
Very good.
Was it a documentary? Or
yeah. And it completely convinced me. Before that, I wasn't sure whether he'd done the right thing, but it completely convinced me. I'm sure it was trying to, but...
I haven't seen that, but I decided pretty quickly that I thought he'd done the right thing.
Well, it's pretty clear now.
You realise that by saying this, we're probably on a watch list now.
I follow Snowden on Twitter, so.
Oh, right. Well, you're definitely on a watch list.
And also, I've been to the Linux Journal website, which is apparently on a watch list.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, I think we've gone slightly off topic.
I think you're right. Did you ask me all the questions that you needed to ask me about this film?
I did, yeah, thank you. And okay. It sounds good, and it sounds like I should definitely watch it.
It is good, listener. Seek it out. Have we got any correspondence?
No.
Oh, dear. We're just doing this for our own benefit, aren't we?
If we got more than one listener, we'd probably have a higher chance of getting correspondence.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Come on, listener. Give us some feedback. Maybe we need to do more trashy films so that people correspond with us.
Yeah. Also, if you are our listener, you could tell your friend.
Yes. Yes. Tell your friend. Tell all your friends. I'm Batman.
Well.
Sorry.
I doubt how many friends you've got, but, tell as many as you've got. Don't lose a friend. By doing that, use your judgment about whether to tell your friend. But
or maybe do lose a friend. This might be a good opportunity to trim your friend base a bit.
Okay. Well, if it's from 1 to 0, I don't recommend. But, you know better than me because you are you. But
I am me, yes.
Yeah. but they're not you. I'm speaking to our listener.
Okay, I'm talking to our listener now. We want comments, please.
Yeah. Or not,
Yeah.
Or tweets.
Tweets would be good.
You can tweet.
Yes. How can they tweet?
Using the Twitter.
I know that. But what's our handle?
Oh, hang on. I think it's at Good Robot Andy's. Hang on. I have the website in front of me.
Okay.
It's taking forever to load this page, as you'll see if you watch the video, which will be on YouTube. Yeah, at Good Robot Andy's.
Okay. Tweet us.
Tweet us. Also, you can listen to us. While I'm here looking at this page that tells me things, you can tweet us. I've said that. You can tweet us on Twitter, at Good Robot Andy's. You can follow us, and you'll find out. You'll see the videos and stuff.
Yes.
You can find us on iTunes. We're called Good Robot Andy's. You can find us on SoundCloud. where there's a random selection of our podcasts when I get round to updating them.
Oh, okay.
Because SoundCloud only lets you have a few hours uploaded at a time, so I have to delete the old ones.
Oh, that's right. There is a limit, isn't there? Yeah.
It's a short limit. So you can find us on Stitcher.
Yes.
And you can find us on TuneIn.
Yeah, we're on TuneIn Radio as well. We're everywhere.
And you can subscribe to us on via our RSS feed.
Yes, also on iTunes. Did you mention iTunes?
And on iTunes. I mentioned iTunes.
You mentioned iTunes. Yeah.
If you Google for The Good Robot Andes, no one else is silly enough to have a name like that.
No.
So you can find us.
We're there.
We're there.
And we're everywhere.
Well, we're there.
And we want you to tell us what you think of our show, our podcast.
So long as it's nice things.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you say horrible things, we might read them out anyway. If it's fine.
Yeah, I think we're likely to, because frankly...
we don't have anything else to go on.
Yeah. okay, go and do some plugging.
Okay, so I present...
I've got it on the screen as well. If you're watching a video, you can see on the screen that it's on our website.
All right. So I present a radio show on Glastonbury FM 107.1 every week on Thursday between 6 and 7. It's a movie reviews, DVD picks, movies on TV. Also look at cinemas that are showing stuff locally. Play music.
No spoilers.
No.
You can find out about things that are on TV.
Yeah, it's spoiler free.
Even if you don't go to the cinema, it's useful.
Yeah. So I present that every week. There's a podcast of that called Movie Mashup, which is Camel Case, and you find that on iTunes or on the interweb.
There's a Facebook page.
There is a Facebook page called Andy's Movie Mashup. The reviews will shortly also be on YouTube as well.
YouTube.
Yes. So you can, if you don't want to subscribe to a podcast, you can go there and look at them.
Yeah, I hear the young people consume their media mostly through YouTube.
Young people? We won't have their sort here.
Well, I don't think... we probably won't have their sort listening to our...
no.
Our podcast.
That's very likely. Okay, plug. Go and plug.
There's an Android game called Rabbit Escape. It's only been bought a couple of hundred times, and it deserves to have been bought several more times than that.
Yes.
And it only costs 60p. I wrote it. And you have to help the rabbits escape.
Yes.
By giving them little tokens that help them do things like build bridges.
That sounded like... you know that line in Face Off? Take his face off.
Yeah, you have to help the rabbits
escape.
Escape.
There you go.
That's actually what it's like in the little video trailer that I made as well.
Right.
It says you've got to help your rabbit, and then it pauses, and it says escape.
Yeah.
It's really cool, except for the typo where I missed out the word two on that screen, which I haven't corrected.
That's so disappointing.
Anyway, it's open source. You can download it for free from the website.
Yep.
But don't do that. Go and pay 60p so that Google... that way Google will make larger profits.
and we all want that.
Yeah. If you... are interested in programming, either at a beginner level or at a higher level, you could have a look for my blog on artificialworlds.net /blog. My website is artificialworlds.net. I make videos about programming on YouTube. You can find all this information on our About page. Oh, am I boring you?
No. I got up really early this morning.
There was a large yawn.
A large yawn, yes. Sorry about that. That was very rude.
You can find me on Twitter. You can, you know, just look at our About page. You'll find all this stuff. But it's almost all programming. I don't know what I'm doing on a movie podcast, but it seemed like a fun thing to do.
It is.
And given that my role on this podcast is not to know anything, it works okay.
It's perfect. Okay. I think that's probably it.
Cool. Thank you very much and see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.